This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zion.
Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
It's time for Top Back. It is Thursday, 20th November 2014. What does that mean exactly? It is Universal Children's Day 2014.
That is what it means. And so naturally, we will be talking about, well, our future.
That's right. Nearly 25 years ago, the world made a promise to children that we do everything in our power to protect and promote their rights to survive and thrive, to learn and grow, to make their voices heard, and to reach their full potential.
Yeah, and as with many other countries, we have all challenges as well as new problems that deprive many of our children of their rights and the benefits of development.
Absolutely. And so when you look at issues, you're thinking about, you know, issues related to education, issues related to bullying, issues related to child trafficking, for example.
Yes.
And you have also examples right here in Malaysia about child brides, issues related to orphans. And clearly, we could be doing more to prevent this from happening. But what can we do? And that's what we're asking you today.
Yeah. Where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children and their future? I mean, when you look at your kids, you know, what do you think is standing in their way? What would you like, what kind of barriers would you like removed to let them see their full potential?
Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here when it comes to our BFM listeners. Mm. I think when they think about kids, children, future, they're always going to be thinking about the education available here in Malaysia. I mean, the options, the costs, and I mean, I think they're right. I mean, that's a huge issue, and we've spoken many a times about that particular issue when it comes to kids.
Yes, education being one of the main thrust, especially when it comes to children, but perhaps some specifics would be good. You can share that with us this evening. In addition to education, is there anything else that you would like, not just your child, but perhaps, you know, for children of Malaysia?
Yeah, another one that I feel sort of very strongly about is a huge issue that unfortunately happens a lot in the Malay Muslim community. You have in 2010, a United Nations report showing that 82,000 married women in Malaysia were girls between the ages of 15 and 19. For the same year, the Deputy Minister for Women revealed that nearly 16,000 girls below the age of 15 were in a marriage. And of course, you know, child marriage is thought to be more common among rural indigenous communities, but you know, this is something that's becoming more and more mainstream. And you know, how do we feel about that, and what can be done to sort of address this issue?
Absolutely. And it's something that we see in the news once in a while, and then there's a huge outcry, and as usual, you know, that dies down and we don't hear of it again.
Yeah.
However, you know, We're complicit in the fact that we are silent about it and we don't make enough noise about it.
Let's talk about the future. The future.
Whitney Houston. Cue Whitney Houston at this point.
It's Universal Children's Day 2014. Where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? The numbers are 0377109000. You can text us at 0162019000. Of course, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. It's Top Back Thursday. We've got some music for you to kick things off. Me and You, Jake Bug, right here on BFM 89.9. And the number once again is 0377109000. You can text us at 0162019000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. It's Top Back Thursday here with Caroline and Ezra. We're asking you on this Universal Children's Day 2014, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? And sort of we've been trying to think about what are the essentials that children should have, but they're not getting. Of course, I'm looking at parents as well, right? I mean, what are your biggest concerns when it comes to your kids?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we talked about education a little earlier, and I suppose you know, that's an easy one to bring it back to, isn't it? I mean, most of the time, even within education, you know, the big arguments, the big regular arguments, the English and Bahasa, science and math, and math arguments, and you know, I suppose that sounds as though I'm trivializing it, but it certainly goes a long way. So policy in education.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you have, I've got friends who actually have kids, and they feel that they've had to make that very difficult move of actually leaving the country because they're concerned about their children's education and their welfare, right?
And that's happening more and more. You know, one of the big perks when it comes to, I suppose, deciding where to work, for example, is when big corporates or companies, you know, actually put out that perk where they pay for your children and they give them the best education.
Right. Mm.
And, you know, we talk about brain drain and how that's a big problem here. I don't know whether it's even an option that we can offer.
Yeah. Of course, you know, you have, you know, we've spoken about sort of other issues apart from education. There's, of course, child trafficking. That's a big concern as well. Over 4,850 804 children were reported missing in Malaysia last year, almost three per day. In June of this year, Malaysia was relegated to the lowest tier, which is tier three by the United States government in its annual trafficking of persons report. And of course, you know, that puts us in the same category as Thailand, Gambia, and Venezuela.
Yeah, but you know what? Therein lies a very interesting distinction in that when it comes to child trafficking, do you know, a lot of the time, and this goes back to the disconnect that we were talking about before. So when we talk about child trafficking, are we talking, do you look at it as Malaysian children? Are we looking at it as one of our own?
Sure. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And of course, speaking of, you know, of our own, I mean, when you're talking about kids, we've had this entire situation of kids being kidnapped, you know, in the past couple of years. We've seen huge sort of campaigns on social media as well. And of course, that's what we're asking about, you know, the future of our kids. Where do we fall short when it comes to protecting them? 03-771-09000. You can text us at 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, similar to our discussion the other day about pets,
yes,
you know, not many people called in. And hence my conclusion was, you guys don't care about pets. And the day after, something happened. You know, there was a sort of an intervention by the Menteri Besar, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it's fair to say Malaysians don't care about children. I mean, that's a huge thing for us.
Well, if they don't call, then perhaps they don't care.
Oh, dear.
That's right.
I'm
throwing it down. It's 6:15. In the next 45 minutes, somebody better call in.
Or Ezra's going to cry.
Absolutely. Where do we fall short about when it comes to protecting our children? Parents, you're listening in. What are the biggest concerns when it comes to your kids? It's Universal Children's Day. 03-771-09000. Of course, you can text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back after this. BFM 89.9. More like the 50. I was terrified when I heard that.
Me too.
Let's talk back Thursday, 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You're with Caroline and Ezra. And we're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? Once again, the number 03-771-09000. Bobby's on the line. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. Hello. Thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear us?
Yes, hi.
Hi, tell us what you think about, you know, when it comes to protecting children, where do we fall short?
Yep, I can hear you. Yeah, this is Bobby.
Bobby, you want to turn off your radio and just focus on the conversation right here because there's a bit of a delay sometimes. So
okay.
I'll ask you once again, you know, we're speaking about this Children's Day 2014. When it comes to, you know, children, what are the biggest concerns that we have?
Yeah, I think when we talk about the issue of children, we cannot look at it in a vacuum, you know, because it has to do with the greater values of society. So I think because our society has become quite materialistic, the way we perceive children is quite, we see them as objects rather than individual people. So especially when parents, they have children, they don't raise the children as, they don't see them unfolding as a new individual, but rather see them as an obligation or an object.
Really? What makes you say that?
I think there is this tendency to, you know, as the children grow older, people tend to pass off the responsibility, and it's more about the expectation they have of the children rather than, you know, appreciating a child as a unique individual.
Right, and so there is this tendency to, you know, sort of whatever baggage or whatever issues and problems, we're passing it off to them rather than letting them grow to their full potential. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I agree with you. Yes, I think we tend to, you know, impose our own values and judgments onto our children, rather than allowing them to express themselves.
But do you think that to a degree, that's what some parents believe that they should do? You know, children need to be guided, and of course, parents help to mold that.
Yeah, but I think there is a fine line between, you know, helping the children, molding the children in the right direction, and also imposing your own failures and your own expectations on your children.
Absolutely.
Well, Bobby, are you a parent yourself?
No, not yet.
All right. I just wanted to check whether you had, well, what expectations do you have of your kids if you were to have kids, or if you have nephews or nieces?
Rather than having expectations of children, I have a great expectation of myself as a parent. As a parent, I would want to be the type of parent who, you know, just takes a child as a special individual of their own and allows them to mature and find your own expression in life.
All right, thank you very much for that. And you know what, to be fair though, I think most parents want that for their children. Whether or not they can carry it out in that capacity is something else altogether.
So,
it's dependent on circumstance for everyone.
Right, so initially everybody has the ideal dream of like wanting their kid to flourish and be this unique individual. But then, you know, reality kicks in and you're like, you know what, can you sort this out for me? Hey, can you help this? Hey, by the way, I want you to do this. Hey, no, you know what? You should forget your dream. You should actually do this. Is that what we've come to?
No, I don't necessarily think that. I don't think it's giving them chores and so on. I think it's pressure. You must do well in school. You must do better than so-and-so. You know, so-and-so's kid is doing this. You must do better. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's reality, isn't it?
I think so.
0377109000. Text us at 016-2019000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children or perhaps even raising our children? Diana's on the line. Hi, Diana.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. So I think in terms of protecting our children, honestly, I'm actually a new mom.
Okay.
I have an 8-month-old baby.
Oh, congratulations.
And, thank you. And my husband and I are already discussing the possibility of migrating because we're so afraid of his future here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. What concerns you most of all, Diana?
Honestly, basically, every parent wants their child to feel secure and safe,
mm-hmm.
right? And currently in our country, I think that with so many cases of children going missing, and also the latest thing that's circulating on social media, which really brings me to tears every time I see it or hear of it, is childcare, you know, mm. when children are left with nannies or an adult besides a parent or a family member, they get abused, this kind of thing really, really scares me as a new mom.
So this whole issue with safety, security, the state of childcare, or rather the lack of good childcare, does that take priority over something like, say, education?
Well, I mean, I think I can't really say that for sure because education is very important. But mm-hmm. first and foremost, is definitely their safety and their security.
Yes,
definitely their safety and security. And the thing is that I don't think childcare is regulated in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's so, it's not regulated well enough.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, we are definitely
failing our children.
Exactly. We're definitely failing our children here.
Thank you
very much for that, Diana. We're going to head to our next caller just before the news. Richard is on the line. Hi, Richard.
Oh,
we've lost Richard. We're going to move on to our next caller, Zizi. Hi, Zizi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good, thanks. What do you think about the issue of children? Are we doing enough to protect them?
I think I'd like to talk about we're not protecting our children's dreams.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's very heartbreaking. I think this generation and the generation before us understand the need for good education.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very heartbreaking whenever you see, when it's results season, especially like STM,
mm-hmm.
and you see parents and their children who get very good results, and they interviewed, you know, the mother or the father, and you ask, so what plans do you have for your children?
Mm-hmm.
And the most common answer is, we'll see whatever she gets. And when I say we're not protecting the children's dreams, is you're raising them up, you know, from young age to secondary school, wanting to be a doctor or mm-hmm. whatever it is, but you're not planning enough for it. Reliance on either a scholarship or some extra funding. And then at the end of the day, the child who has always wanted to be a doctor applies for some courses, and because of the circumstances where they end up not enough place or whatever it is, ends up going 2, 3, 4 rungs and ends up taking a course that has nothing to do with what her dream or his dream was.
And as a result, they're not fulfilling their potential. I think we get that sense, Zizi. Thank you very much for calling in and sharing that. I mean, I do sort of share that, and I think there were some sort of parallels to our previous caller, Diana, as well, about the concerns of not allowing kids to fulfill their potential or their dreams because of circumstances, because of policies, because of, things not being on a level playing field.
Indeed, but the goal is the same, if you notice. I think it's a difference in ideology. So, you know, you can be... I mean, it could be considered you protecting your child's dream if you let them be what they want to be and see what happens.
Right, yeah, right? Of course. And I think what he was saying that was...
guidance that, in that direction.
Perhaps. Correct, but also that there are obstacles in place that, you know, really sort of hinders their progress as well. Folks, we're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? 0377109000. Text us at 0162019000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. It's Talk Back Thursday. We're headed straight to the news with Keith Kam right here on BFM 89.9. This Universal Children's Day 2014, we're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? We're headed straight to the phone lines. Dr. George is on the line. Hi there.
Hello, beautiful people.
It's our
good
Dr.
evening, George.
Hi.
Why are you so pessimistic? Surely we can talk about other things that we've done well for the children.
Well, we could.
You can start listing them. You can go on.
Poverty, that's improved education, nutrition, health, and so on and so forth. Don't be so pessimistic. Of course, there are things that we fall short of. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as a parent, I obviously feel guilty for doing this. I think I'm overprotecting, overproviding, and overexpecting.
You're just overachieving.
Well, overprotecting, I think for my children, I think we should let them fall a little bit. I've experienced pain a little bit. No pain, they have no gain. So, you know, when they have lived in this cushion life and they lived in this kind of like bubble wrap life and it is awfully artificial, I really think that's not too good for them.
In which area is it good for them to fall, Dr. George?
Oh, I mean, we all make mistakes in life. Mm-hmm. And I really think that when we overprotect the children, we really don't allow them to make mistakes and actually learn from the mistakes. That's one thing that I really would like them to learn from their own mistakes. Mm-hmm. So they should fall, and they should fall hard so that they learn how to climb up again.
Tough love, tough love.
Dr. George, what are the essentials that you know, children should have but they're not getting?
Well, I think, well, they are in a way overprovided. In many ways, they're not hungry. They're not hungry for success. They're not hungry for a lot of things. So I really think that that's the reason why I'm going to spend all my money. I'm going to leave everything for the children so that they really have to do that. I think Bill Gates will get the right thing to give it away to charity.
Do you
think that will really keep them hungry?
Do you think that your situation accurately reflects the rest of the children in Malaysia?
Well, not necessarily. But the thing is that if they actually are completely overprovided, and then that will be a not necessarily good thing for them. So they really need to learn how to do that. And last thing is over-expecting. A lot of callers actually say that parents are expecting their kids to do that. As you mentioned, in many ways, we're expecting the kids to walk the path we never did walk. And then so there's sort of things that, you know, we want them to kind of like be a better doctors and all sorts of things. And then you miss opportunity for them to actually lead their own way, you know, take the path that's less well-traveled and make their own lives. I really think that's quite important.
Dr. George, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to, you know, capture this particular segment and send it to your kids for their birthday, and at least they can play it back for you at some point in time.
How joyful.
So I might as well just let them blame me for everything.
Thanks, Dr. George. We're going to move on to our next caller. If you want to chime in, 0377109000. Text us at 0162019000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you, what are the biggest concerns when it comes to your kids? What are they for your children? What are the essentials that they should be having, but they're not getting? Richard is on the line. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for holding the line.
I think Dr. George got a few points right, maybe not all. I can speak from experience because I come from a family that my parents were both illiterate. They were poor, but they gave me a very balanced life in a way. They were able to even get me to England to get my degree. Same thing, what I'm doing now is for my children is that I'm trying to give them a very balanced life as well. Education is important. Safety is important. Bring them is important. Maybe Dr. Josh was right. We will provide a little bit, but I do want to maybe emphasize another point of their career path. Not every kid can be a doctor. Not every kid can be an engineer or whatever.
Yeah.
A case of point like myself, when I was growing up, my parents were wondering. In the 70s, a lot of kids wanted to be doctors, engineers, and whatnot. And my mom would say, you know, what do you want to do? So my dad said, yeah, my friend's son is doing this, my friend's son is doing that. And my mom would say, my late mother would say, let him do what he wants. Let him do what he's good in. And let him excel in the things he wants to do. And being my mom not educated, she said, he can be a gangster and make sure he's a psycho.
And as long as you were the best gangster, that's all that mattered, right?
But if you listen to the line, what she's saying is,
do the best you can, you know? Mm-hmm. And today I achieved that. So same thing with my son. He's not good in math, he's not good in science. So I resigned to the fact that he's not going to be a doctor, not going to be an engineer. And what he likes to do, he likes to eat. So today he's a chef.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and he cooks well. So one day at least, well, he cannot be a millionaire. At least he's not going to starve.
Yeah.
And as a parent, we will never thought of him taking care of us, but we want him to, we want to inculcate to him that, look, you need to look after the elders, you need to respect the elders, the same way I do to my parents. We show the both the kids, and hopefully they understand and they learn.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that, Richard. Of course, sharing these kind of experiences, you know, it's similar to sort of Dr. George and, you know, when it comes to sort of the expectation, you know, how do we manage what we experience from our parents, you know, versus what we're expecting from, you know, potential kids or your current kids as well. Yeah.
And Richard, they're prioritizing values above all.
Absolutely. We're going to head to our next caller. Mick is on the line. Hi, Mick.
Hi there. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
All the points that people are making about safety and protection of the children, great.
Yeah.
But the one comment I have is, why is there no, let's say, concern about safety when these children are in cars?
Mm-hmm. When in cars, okay.
How often do you see children, actually, they don't have seatbelts on. Mm-hmm. You've got kids standing in between the front seats. Mm-hmm. You've got kids sitting and standing in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, I was nearly involved in a car accident. I was going along Jalan Dutta, okay, and I was indicating to turn into the left lane, and a car had just come, just drifting across, and the guy had a child, he was the driver,
yeah.
Had the child sitting on his right-hand side.
Right.
Okay, he was talking to the child.
Yeah, it's very concerning because, you know, as you mentioned that, I was actually going to try to sort of think of another example because that was the exact experience that I had just a few days ago that, you know, you have the driver and the kids right in front of him, and that's such a safety hazard, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but don't they realise that if they have to perform an emergency stop, that child is basically coming through the windscreen?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I suppose it's something as simple as that that sometimes we don't think about. But it's also a matter of the Malaysians' attitude to it in general. You know, buckling up in the back seat, something that was implemented years ago, came into effect, and you still don't see many people adhering to it.
No, and it's very, very sad. I mean, I remember an old friend of mine, and her children never used to put their seatbelts on. And I actually slowed the car down. I was going at 20 kilometers an hour. And I slammed on the brakes. Mm. And they went forward, hit the back seats. Oh, uncle, that hurt.
Right.
I said, fine, put your seatbelts on.
Yeah. So I suppose, you know, big warning there saying...
Yeah, well, yes. But to me, it just seems absolutely crazy. I mean, do you remember there was an advertising campaign on the radio not so long ago saying that you get in the car... You put on your seatbelt, and your kids are in the back, and they don't put on their seatbelt. And the comment was, do you love yourself more than your kids?
Mm. There you go. Thank you very much for sharing that perspective with us, Mick. And of course, you know, for all you listeners, if you have kids sitting in the back, remember, buckle up right now.
Buckle up now. Please attend to yourself as well before seeing to those under your care.
Yes, 0377109000. It's Top Back Thursday. We're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9. So with Caroline and Ezra on Top Back, today is Universal Children's Day, and we're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? Just a quick recap, we had callers talking about overprotecting them and, you know, overproviding them, not having enough hunger. We had a caller talking about the safety of our kids in vehicles, on the roads, and they're not buckling up, and a variety of things as well.
And here's one other opinion as well. I'm just going to read a few messages that have come in from BFM listeners. Digital detox is needed for kids nowadays to learn how to let go of that device for their own safety and allow space for more personal interface. Another one, we need to protect our economy now. If newlywed parents are broke, there goes their basic necessities like education, food, roof over their heads, even cars are gone. As it is, many in our generation are drowning in debt to afford some of the above. Talk about the worst kind of inheritance. That's from Justin. Another one, most parents are kiasu, type, and then they try to compete with other parents' children and directly giving so much pressure to the poor kids. They'll be lucky if these kids don't end up with depression.
Tell us what you think. 0377109000 is the number to call. Sharon is on the line. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good, thank you. Tell us what you think when it comes to protecting our children. Where have we failed them?
Well, eventually we don't fail the children. We fail everybody, because if you talk about the children, take care of them, you should take care of the elderly. So the same thing applies to everybody, but a different approach.
Okay, so you're referencing that, you know, if we take care of our children, but we've got to take care of our elderly as well, it's sort of equal opportunity in protection, I guess, or in care?
Or are you saying that we failed everyone?
Yes, actually. Because if you look into old men in the streets, they're still begging. Women's families still struggling in life.
Mm.
So eventually, if you talk about the reality of a society, eventually, so children negligence, I call them, is actually a symptom of social disease within the society.
And so what can we do then? What do you think should be done, Sharon?
The only possible way eventually is to get the family intact, eventually in terms of economy, in terms of stability, in terms of social social rights for the parents. If the parent is struggling in terms of economy, it will affect the development of the children, because the parents are so busy with all their economic pursue, eventually they neglect their children.
All right, thank you very much for that, Sharon. We're going to move on to our next caller. Calvin is on the line. Hi, Calvin.
Hi.
Hi. Tell us what you think.
Okay, for me in general, for kids in Malaysia, education I think is okay, because I'm not so concerned about education if we compare ourselves to some very third world country or so. So every kids are given the opportunity for education. What I am actually more concerned is the child exploitation.
Yes. Human trafficking?
Not just human trafficking. It's our general view on kids who beg, child labor, child abuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is more concern rather than education. I think in education-wise, we are, not to say too great, but then I think we are just, we have whatever we can have. Some kids can study, some kids doesn't.
Well, you know, I understand where you're coming from, Calvin. You know, sometimes I think it's also, and that's interesting, because I think it's also a matter of prioritizing what the concerns are. So, you know, in one of the reasons it's important to do a talk back like this is, you know, to sort of assess where we are, read the temperature a little bit. And for some people, it's education. We've talked about that. For some people, it's safety and security. You think we're still in a situation where child exploitation is the main issue?
Yeah, the child exploitation, it is the main issue. If now, for me now, I'm in my car, I'm standing at a Pasar Malam, and I can tell you, even though there's a beggar with a kid, nobody want to care anything about it. You know?
Mm.
There's no care. There's a need for someone to do something when child is exploited in such a way.
And in some ways, you know, like, you know, this particular issue is just not sexy enough for the general public, is it?
Yeah. I mean, there is supposed to be a total ban on such thing. If you can see something, a kid that's not supposed to be there, or child marriage, for instance.
Mm.
Child marriage is so exploited, and I don't know why there's no ban, and there's no, I don't care whether it's religious matter or what's wrong, it should be a total ban regardless of any religion, right?
It's morally wrong. That's what you're saying when it comes to child marriages.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much for that, Calvin. We're going to move on to our next call. If you want to chime in on today's issue, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? What are the essentials that children should be having but they're not getting? Call us at 03-771-09000. Text us at 0162-01-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Caroline, we've got some texts and tweets.
We do. So Daniel Fahmy says, I believe policies are there. We should question the execution, ranging from development, education, etc. Azwan Omar says, initially, parents feel that children are the most important things. Once career and living expectations come up, children become a burden. Once parents are busy with work and career, time with children is reduced. Disconnect happens, lack of attention, less protection. Vinith says, my biggest concern is my child's independence, as her mum is overprotective of the 8-year-old. I suppose echoing what Dr. George said a little earlier.
We're going to head to our next caller. Joel is on the line. Hi, Joel.
Hi. Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for waiting. What are your thoughts on this?
My concern is basically, like what George mentioned before, that kids shouldn't be overprotected.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is what happens to them when you do not have that certain
safety net?
Certain range of safety net there. Because I was at a gathering last time, a few days ago, and I was chatting with one of my friend's little daughter, and she seemed like the sweetest little thing. And just suddenly, something happened. She stubbed the toe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, the F word just came out. I was like, whoa.
The F word came out of the kid?
Yes.
And how old is she, did you say again?
She was, I think she's about 9 or 10.
I'm just trying to think whether I said the F word at 10, but go on.
Yes, I was like, oh my gosh. My question is, where did she get that?
Mm.
You know, she might seem like a little angel to everybody in the whole gathering there, but where is she learning all these things? And, you know, we get news on kids learning about a lot of lewd stuff very early on. You know, where is that coming from? Maybe from school?
Where do you think it's coming from?
I think it could be from schools where the kids are not with the parents, where, you know, they get to wander around probably maybe with a certain bunch. But then again, that raises the question, you could not ostracize all these delinquents per se, because if you do that, then we would have a whole...
But Joel, are you concerned of the fact that, I mean, you know, at some point this, 9 or 10-year-old kid, I mean, when she grows up, she's going to be using the same words. But I think you're concerned about the potential as to what it might lead to, right?
Yes, what it might lead to at such an early age.
Right, okay. Thank you very much for your call, Joel. We're going to move on to our next caller. Mr. Tan is on the line. Hi there.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, good evening. How are you? Traffic jam and it's raining, thunderstorm.
Oh, no. Well, good thing, we're talking on the radio right now. Tell us what you think about children. Where do we fall short when it comes to protecting them?
Okay, I will just talk about children's safety, and I say it is all the education system.
Okay.
How you educate children, how the government educate the public. I give you an example. Remember the 2004 tsunami?
Yes.
Somewhere in Phuket.
Yes.
A small girl from I don't know, from Dutch over there, she tells the mother, Mommy, tsunami is coming. Picture last week told us, when you see the water receding, tsunami is coming. And they start telling everybody to run. You see, what I mean by education, you must start young.
Okay.
Drive it into their subconscious and everything will go smoothly. We in Malaysia fail in this, I must tell you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Tan. We're going to move on to our next caller. Mrs. Tan is on the line. Hi there.
Hello. I just want to share some thoughts here.
Yes.
So I'm a mother. I have a child who is 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But what has been constantly on my mind recently is first thing is safety. And the second thing is opportunity for my kid.
Okay.
When she grows up. So I'm constantly worried, reading all the news every day. I'm constantly worried whether my child will be given an equal opportunity as other kids when it comes to education, when it comes to fighting for her rights.
Mm-hmm.
Would she be given the equal opportunity or not? As even though she's only two, I'm already beginning to worry about that right now. And the second thing is safety, even in school. So I have this fear of sending her to school because there's so many cases of bullying in school, whether it's students bullying students or even the teachers, because it has gone so bad to the extent that even the teachers, I don't know why they also start, some would have verbal abuse or some may have some act of racism.
Yeah, there's just a range of issues, and I think it's probably amplified, as your child is growing up, and you mentioned that they're only two right now, but what about the future, right?
Yes. Even now when I read the news, I have this constant fear. What is she going to get, right? What kind of society she's going to face? Well, will she be given an equal opportunity? Will she be given equal rights? If she goes to school, even the teachers, will they be treating them equally?
Yeah, will your kid be treated fairly enough? And I think that certainly echoes a lot of the sentiments that we're getting from texts and tweets as well. Thank you very much for your call, Mrs. Tan. It's Talk Back Thursday. We're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? Call us at 03-771-09000, text us at 016-201-9000, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Good evening, folks. I'm Ezra Zayed.
Good evening. I'm Caroline Oh.
And it's Talk Back. We're continuing our conversation about where we fall short when it comes to protecting our children. It's Universal Children's Day. 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Ellen says, children need to be taught how to deal with hardship and the difference between right and wrong. Teach us how to fish and share. Ang says, rising cost of living means two working parents and less quality time and longer working hours. I fear we'll soon be disconnected from them and be unable to build deep connections with our children and guide them ethically as well. SK First Coffee says, it's sad to note the differences between what a child in urban centres can have versus those in rural belts, for example, East Malaysia. Another one, 99.9% of parents in Malaysia fail to protect their children from consumer electronics. Beware the iPhone zombies.
I think referencing the digital detox, one of our callers mentioned earlier. We'll head straight to the phone line. Sue is on the line. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, I'd like to weigh in on two issues.
Mm-hmm.
The first was a previous caller talked about the foul verbal expletives that children, some kids these days, have no trouble spitting out.
Mm-hmm.
I basically think that it's a factor of the entire, you know, the way society has evolved. And if you look at it today, these foul expletives have become commonplace, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I have two boys and they know these words, and it's not because it's a secret code or anything. It's mainstream. You listen to it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
There are songs that are played on our mainstream radio channels that have such words in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's commonplace, and it's also a status symbol thing. And I think sometimes as adults, we tend to think that, you know, our kids are protected and they don't know these words, but they do. They do. I think the more important thing is for parents to educate the kids and to tell them, you know, that this word doesn't have a good meaning. You know, maybe you can't always explain what it means, but I think it's important on the part of the parents to understand the lingo that your kids are engaging with and to explain to them why it's right or wrong. So that's on the verbal expletives. The other issue is on the issue of education. I think our education system should be more about addressing the needs of the child rather than the needs of political whims and fancies,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, let's face it, today, the education system that we have, if we were to address the needs of the child, it would look very different from the way it does today, right? Mm-hmm. So today, every other politician that comes into, you know, into the role of the minister, every now and again, he changes it for whatever reason. And so then that's why we are where we are. I don't agree with one of the callers who said, you know, we are better off than many third world countries. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact that we've fallen behind many third world countries. So,
and Sue, if I can just interrupt very quickly, in your opinion, what are some of those essential needs of the child, if we were to sort of frame it in that respect?
I think, you know, I mean, we need to be realistic. And sometimes we tend to be overly nationalistic and sentimental about what are the needs.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be realistic and practical. A very basic thing is English. Look at how many guys that are trying to join the workforce, or even guys who are already in the workforce, they struggle with English. And that's basic. That's basic in any working environment, anywhere in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would look very different. And every year, we tend to lower our standards, right, as far as English is concerned, or even as far as science and math is concerned. Those are extremely important subjects. We have to get those three right.
We've got to get the essential bits right. I was just referring to sort of not just, you know, kids using, you know, bad words or bad language or foul language, and how that has it how that has entered into the mainstream. Of course, the second part about education, having, you know, sort of the idea that, you know, we always sort of frame, you know, whatever blueprints we have, not necessarily to suit the needs of the kids, but, you know, to serve political masters, perhaps.
Yeah, and that's a complaint that we hear. I mean, we've heard it often enough. We talked about the education blueprint when it came out, and that was the number one complaint. So, you know, I was going to say keep your complaints coming in, but that's not exactly what we're doing. You know, how have we fallen short, and what can we do to improve the situation for our children?
Thank you for that comment, Sue, and for calling in. We're going to move on to our next caller. Mahathir is on the line. Hi, Mahathir.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing good,
well,
thank you.
That's good. A lot of callers have already raised what I wanted to raise, so I'm left with only 2 points.
Okay.
I realized that a lot of Malaysians fail in two things. First is to give example as well as a role model to their children, and to reprimand their children when they do something wrong. Let me give you an example of two situations that I see in the lift. One situation is when the kids keep on tapping on the buttons and the parents didn't even say anything about it.
They just don't do anything. They just let the kids continue tapping on those buttons.
Tapping on the buttons. That's one. The second one is when the parents impatiently push on the closed door button in front of the kids.
In front of the kids, so to not let other people enter the lift? Is that what you're referencing?
No, they just couldn't wait for the door to close.
Right, just impatience.
So what I'm saying is that you need to set good example to your children. Make a conscious decision to do the right thing in front of the kids.
Mm.
And if they do wrong things, you've got to reprimand them. You cannot let them go.
All right. Thank you very much for that.
I suppose it's a little bit difficult once you reach the 56th floor after stopping on every single floor, needing the loo and being late, as you know, the case would be.
Yeah. No. Thank you very much for that call, Mahathir. What I love about that example or analogy is that, you know, these lessons that you can learn in an elevator.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we've all been in that elevator, haven't we?
Absolutely. 03-77-109-1000. It's Talk Back Thursday. We're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? Today is Universal Children's Day. Our next caller is Madi. Hi, Madi.
Hi. Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening all over.
Hi.
Yeah. Just to, you know, I look at this issue. There are two different areas, you know, the rural kids and the urban kids.
Yes.
And of course, most of the callers from Klang Valley have very similar problem and similar things that have been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone has is right in some way or other. But overall, I think in Malaysia, we provide for the kids better than what it was, what my generation went through. Better education, better health, better living quarters, better food, better entertainment. Everything is better than what it was before. But one area that we are still sticking to the old mode is that certain sectors of the population, I had staff as well, I'm talking about my staff previously, they get married very early and they have five kids, do re mi fa sol la ti, like that, you know, in one after another.
Right.
What does this land out with? We all have 24 hours. That means five kids or more, you have less time for the kids.
Right, and so you're saying that, you know, a lot of these folks who are having, you know, lots of kids in a short period of time, they're not paying enough attention to all of them? Is that what you're referencing?
They want to pay attention, but they can't pay attention because we have that limited time.
Mm.
And if you're in an urban area, you have to really work hard. Some do have attitude. Doesn't matter. By the time the fourth one comes in, the first one is in Form 1, in a residential school, the government will take care of it. You know, that type of attitude. Family planning, we are still lacking. That's what I would say.
All right, family planning. That's why he was referencing. Thank you very much, Madi. It's Talk Back Thursday. We're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? Terrence and Sam, please hold the lines. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9. It's Caroline and Ezra on Talk Back. We're asking you, where do we fall short when it comes to protecting our children? What do you think are the major hurdles when it comes to the development of our kids? Terrence is on the line. Hi, Terrence.
Hello. Hi, good evening, guys.
Good evening. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I notice everyone's talking about education and all that, but I think there's one area where most parents, maybe in Malaysia or even worldwide, fail to look at. First of all, it's food. I think that's a major concern. There's lots of fat kids in Malaysia.
Are you concerned about the quality of foods they're eating?
Yeah, the quality of food, and how are we teaching our kids on what to eat? I mean, whether it's your burger by the street, or whether it's like nasi lemak,
or whether it's a fish taco, yes.
Yeah.
Health concerns.
Are they getting the right amount of food? I mean, good food at this age, I mean, it gets to their brain, they be smarter, they develop faster.
Sure.
I mean, it helps. So that opportunity, I mean, how are the rural guys getting their food? I mean, what type of food, what type of nutrients? And how are the urban people doing it? I mean, is there an equal thing there?
Well, it's funny because I think you're talking about this particular issue, urban or rural. I think Malaysians in general are not as well informed about the nutrition of what they're eating. I don't think they know where their food comes from.
So how are we educating our kids? If the kid is smart but is fat as hell, he's going to die at 20. I mean, what's the use?
I mean,
that's something that every parent should look at.
And Terence, are you a parent yourself?
Yes, I am. My kid has 6 pack and he's like 2 years old.
What are you doing in terms of making sure that they're well informed on these issues?
I mean, first of all, as a parent, you should read. I mean, first, early in the morning, I mean, I go berserk with food. I mean, I start giving him blueberries, strawberries, start off the day, you know, go mental like that. But, you know, I spend money. But this is the thing, it's basically money well spent. So I think every parent should look at that. Take time, make their breakfast instead of just drive through to your local fast food chain and get something. Yeah, so, you know.
Prioritize health, essentially.
Yeah, look at the nutrients that they're getting, or even nutrition, so to speak. And, you know, just do a check on that. I mean, I think that's important.
Thank you very much for that, Terence. We're going to move on to our final caller of the day. Sam is on the line. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
Hi, Sam. You want to turn off your radio? But tell us what you think about where we fall short when it comes to our children.
I'm glad I'm the final caller, but I'd like to present to you a totally reverse point of view.
All right, let's do it.
Your original topic is how we are failing on protecting the children, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say we are overprotecting our children.
Very nice. It's something that echoes some of our previous callers as well.
To what age is our children now being protected? Mostly they are being protected by their parents until after their college, right?
Thereabouts, depending, yes.
Children perhaps protect them until they are 30s, 40s, you know, and until a stage where they are able to take over the company or whatever. So it's overprotection, isn't it?
Yeah, to some degree. But Sam, are you a parent yourself?
Yeah, no. I'm not.
And no, let's say, you know, when you're talking about overprotecting, I mean, is it just because we're pampering them and therefore these kids are not hungry to succeed and they have not enough desire?
Exactly. Let's look at this. You know, when you're overprotecting our children, I think we are living from a point of view of a very individualistic kind of point of view, kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
Goal kind of point of view, individualistic, what I can achieve for myself, what I can achieve for my extension of myself, which is my children, right?
Yes.
But to be frank, 99.9% of people is just average. How many people can be expected to be a Mozart? How many people can be expected to be a Bill Gates, you know?
But do you not want to give them the opportunity to let them fulfill that potential?
Exactly. You give them everything, but They are not there. These exceptional people that they're aspiring to be, but they're not there. But if you are there, perhaps maybe we can use our late Lim Kok Tong as an example. You know, he wasn't being protected. He 9 years old, he had to emigrate to another foreign country and work his ass off, you know?
Right.
And he made it, right?
So, and basically, you're just advocating tough love and overprotecting our kids is just a bad thing, unfortunately. Thank you very much for your call, Sam. We're running out of time, but we have some time for some texts and tweets, Caroline.
Fang says, I think the future of our Malaysian children is in the dark. We lose our competitiveness to other neighbouring countries. Change must be made to give equal opportunities to all. Thomas says, speaking about children's rights, why not look into the eligibility of child voting? They can protect themselves if they're participating in the decision-making process. process. Another one. We live in a very erotic world today. Parental control
Erotic world today.
Yes, parental control is absolutely necessary. And one final one. We're ignoring our obligations to children from refugee and stateless families, birth certificates, schools, healthcare, etc. And I think that's very true. And something that, you know, I think is perhaps a point of note to end on. We talk about Universal Children's Day there. It pays to remember that there are a lot of children who are not remembered, who don't have that voice, mm-hmm. and we're not just talking about our own. So, yeah. You know, everybody.
Well said, Caroline. If you missed any part of this program, download the podcast at www.bfm.my. Today is Universal Children's Day. I've got some music for you, Iris by Goo Goo Dolls, right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.